Hey, welcome everybody. Brother Goodwin here. I got something exciting to share from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. We're continuing our series on the truths of Christmas. Doc is sitting right here. And go to the website, protestantspotlight.com. Get the DVD if you don't have it. It's going to be life-changing for you. There's also CDs there. And I want to read Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 as we continue here in part 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. I like the old saying. I used to see this all the time. You'd see it on bumper stickers back in the day. And now it's Twitter and Facebook. Remember the old saying, wise men still seek him. Boy, that's where this comes from. Now, we don't know how many of these guys there were, but they were wise because they were seeking Jesus. And you'd be wise if you'd seek Jesus. Well, we're going to bring Doc in. We're going to talk about the wise men. We're going to find out who they are, maybe some idea how many of them there were, why they came to Jerusalem, what they were seeking. What's this all about? It's going to be exciting. Don't miss it. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Prophecy in the Spotlight here. Doc, this is, I love the Christmas time of year. I love this kind of stuff. And I preached a sermon. I hate to even tell you this. This is a long time ago. I preached a sermon called Three Wise Guys. Good, catchy title. But I don't know. I always liked Christmas sermons, and I'd look for stuff like that. And,
yeah, because it's really... The root of it's all about redemption.
Yeah, yeah. And it is three wise guys, and or three wise guys. The way you say it makes a difference,
that's
doesn't
right.
It? But we're going to look at that in just a second, Doc. But before we get there, I want to read a verse and have you comment on this. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 has a very interesting passage here. Mm-hmm. This is the speaking of the Antichrist. And they all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, the Antichrist, mm-hmm. whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. Now, here it is, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Yes.
And you had something you wanted to comment on that about.
You know, I've heard a lot of preachers preach, and I've been guilty in the past.
Me too.
I'm not sure there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, we've often said before creation, God had already planned. And I don't doubt that's true. But the scripture says from, not before. And so that tells me, that gives me a clue to look back into creation's week and see what it might be. And so these wise men are going to come based on something they've seen in the heavenly bodies. So I go back to chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, to the creation.
Mm-hmm.
And... on day number 4, God's going to put the sun and the moon and the stars in the bodies in the heaven. He said for signs and seasons, days and years. And so here's what I'm thinking. That on day number 4 of creation, God knew in the future exactly the day when he was going to have his son tabernacle in the flesh. And so he set in motion on day number 4 of creation in the heavenly bodies so that one time in all of history, certain heavenly bodies and movements would converge at a particular time, 4,000 years in the future, that coincided exactly with the event that you're just reading about.
Doc, this is mind-boggling. To think that when God created, and here's the verse. Let me read a couple of these here. This is Genesis chapter 1, mm-hmm. If you want to know how everything ends, go back to the beginning, right?
Yep.
Verse 13, in the evening and the morning were the third day. Now we're getting into the fourth day. Mm-hmm. Verse 14 begins the fourth day. And God said, let there be lights, plural, lights in the firmament, that's the sky, mm-hmm. I guess, of the heaven to divide the day from night. So part of the purpose of these lights is to divide day from night.
Very physical.
That's quite helpful, right? We know whether it's day or night mm-hmm. by whether it's dark out or not. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Yeah. That's an important yeah. little verse right there.
And it goes on to say he set them in their ordinances and in their order.
Let them be for lights in the firmament and of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, mm-hmm. the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. It's just yeah. in passing.
It's almost like, yeah.
Yeah. And God, here's the verse you're talking yeah. about, verse 17. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. Mm-hmm. And God saw that it was good. And that's
when
the fourth day.
It says when he set. In other words, God placed them in their order, in their orbits, to do exactly what he designed them to do.
So if I understand this correctly, what happened 4,000 years ago now?
Well, 2,000
years ago now, yeah. Mm-hmm. 6,000 years ago from
that's
this.
That's right.
God knew that he needed something to get yeah. the attention of those three, yeah. those wise men. We don't have many.
Yeah.
There was a message here.
Exactly
God knew,
right.
I think we mentioned Galatians 4:4 on another show. Mm-hmm. In the fullness of time.
That's right.
Christ is going to come into the world. God's going to use these lights in the heavens as to broadcast.
As announcement.
Yeah.
The
And so, they, in other words, they had to be in a certain orbit to where right. they'd appear.
That's right.
To these wise men.
Exactly right. He said in the fullness of time. That means when the time is full. Another place the Bible says fully come. And so so obvious, on day number four of creation, God put all of this together so that when the time was fully come, when it was full, these would move as they did and to appear in the night sky and would be the thing that triggered the movement of these wise men on the behalf of their nations.
And look at this, Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God yeah. sent forth his son, made of a woman.
Yes.
Made under the law. Mm-hmm. And then verse 5, listen to this. Yeah. To redeem them that were under the law, mm-hmm. that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Yes.
Because and the law killeth.
Yes.
And you don't get saved under the law. Right. Condemns.
But the Spirit maketh alive. And so here we go in this wise men's coming. They are coming because literally 4,000 years before that, God set in motion something that would happen that would get their attention in a very big way.
Yeah.
And there's more to that. These wise men, you know, they're coming. I'm convinced from my research and information that I've been able to dig up in all of these years of working on this, that it goes all the way back to Daniel's influence in the Chaldean kingdom, because out of the Chaldean kingdom came a lot of educational advancement. Daniel is going to be placed in charge of all the educational system in Chaldean system yeah. under the Babylonians and later under the Persians. Mm-hmm. And so what history reveals is that one of his pupils was named Zoroaster. And Zoroaster is what is the head of what we call, throughout history, has been called Zoroastrianism. In other words, a religious philosophy built on knowledge, primarily. And Daniel had taught, apparently from the book of Numbers, that there would be a time when a star would rise. And they were looking, and even though they didn't have telescopes like we have today, and they didn't have computers that could run those, and they couldn't see to the farthest end of space like we do today, unbelievable mm-hmm. discoveries, they could see the major movements, and they had mapped out the 12 constellations and could identify the time of the year that they were in by all of those movements of the bodies. And so all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a movement of planets came into view in such a way that this must be.
Now, let me stop you right there.
Must be what I was talking
about. Is there anything in the Old Testament, Daniel or anybody, that says that this is supposed to happen and it means the Messiah has come? Where did they, what made them think that this meant
something? In the book of Numbers, he talks about a star that's going to appear. Now, we know that that's talking about primarily Jesus rising out of it. But what it appears to be is to be a movement of constellations. I know everybody's, and I'm not saying there's, I'm not in contention with those that believe a particular star. But you cannot find anywhere where stars can map you and lead you north and south like this. Now, I know we have the North Star, but that's a fixed position that no matter where you are, you can see Polaris and you know that's north from wherever you're at. But a moving star is moving east and west. And this star, it's caught their attention. They're obviously looking for it. These are people that search the night skies all the time,
and
astronomers.
And there's one guy, I watched a video several years ago. He believes it's a couple of planets that came together.
Yeah.
I don't mean they hit each other, but from Earth out.
Looking for Earth.
They got close enough to where it looked like it was one.
We don't have time because there's many other things we need to talk about here, but it appears that Virgo has the King Star Regulus coming between her legs at this given time, and there would have been six planets aligned in an arc.
And that's showing a birth in the heavens.
It's all showing the birth.
Like that Revelation 12
sign. The King Star being born.
Yeah.
And that's
so something like that's what they saw. And it actually moved. They followed it.
And
they're
going
to follow it again from Jerusalem.
Well, partly because all of this is taking place in the area of the constellation that is announcing the fact that all of this is taking place in Judea, somewhere in that area.
Psalm 19 again, the heavens declare the glory of
the glory of God.
They just declared the king is coming,
and
the king is born.
This is why when they come, where's the king at? Where's the king born?
Well, it's going to be in the palace.
Because the king star has just gone through Virgo, appearing to be a king is born. They're coming to pay obeisance to heaven's appointed king on the earth.
So are these guys of the Chaldean, is that who they are?
No, not necessarily. These are the word magi that we read wise men that came, the magos. These were individuals of stature. It could have been a sheriff, a doctor, a student of the law, an ambassador. And who these were from the histories, five different historians that I've seen material from, three of them riding with the camel train, one of them in Damascus and one in Jerusalem.
And they're from the east, it says.
They're coming from the east
of Jerusalem.
One of our problems is we think of the Roman kingdom and that it ruled the world. Well, it ruled the world in which Israel lived.
Right.
Our Bible is written from the standpoint of Israel and its and that. There was a kingdom of federated nations east of the Roman Empire. 13 of them were federated together, and they were every bit as large with an army as was the Roman army in the Roman Empire. And from some of the documentation, we know that an ambassador came to the courts at Rome announcing, we're coming as a war. We're coming because we got word that you killed the newborn king that we, our nations, sent our ambassadors, and we have already placed our allegiance to that newborn king. That's what they were coming for. That's what the gift, as we'll see in a moment, was all about. That's why the Roman Empire called Herod up put him on trial and found him guilty because he had all the babies, boys, 2 years old and under, slain. All revolving around this story. That's why Herod wants to know, when did you see this?
Okay, so let's go back to the beginning here. They see this event in the heavens. They get their caravan together, and probably that when that star appeared and they saw it, whatever it was, planet, star, it was probably the actual birth of Christ.
Would have been.
Hundreds of miles away. They have to get their caravan together. They have to get food. They got a big entourage here. Probably a year and a half before they arrive from the time they saw it.
Here's the thing. They're going to travel. They're going to carry a lot of valuables. Their gold and silver and myrrh. And not only that, but in order to do that, they're going to have to bring armed guards with them. So there's going to be military involved. In order to do all of that, you got to have a lot of extra food. In order to do all that, you got to have a lot of extra people to do the cooking and the taking care of all of this. This would be like us sending an ambassador someplace with a box full of gold. We wouldn't put them on an airplane without escort and without protection.
Just put it in my bag, put it on my shoulder.
Yeah. So it would have been somewhere in the neighborhood, because when this account of this ambassador coming to the courts in Rome, it was on the 18th day of January when he walked into the courts, and it would have made sense and help us understand that it was at least 18 to 21 months after the birth of Christ before these men finally come to Jerusalem.
And there are some clues in the Gospels that prove that.
Yes.
We've come, where is he born, King of the Jews? We've come to worship him. They went to Jerusalem, not Bethlehem. Yeah. He's not in Jerusalem. Yeah. By the way, he's not in Bethlehem
either.
He's
not in Bethlehem.
He's in Egypt, I think.
No, he's in Nazareth at this point.
Okay, but he'd been in Egypt.
No, he's not gone to Egypt yet.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I got it backwards. And so, after they leave, then they take him to Egypt.
So after this, they are warned that the information was given is not really what we wanted to hear. And they see a sign. We call it the star that led them north. I don't know exactly what it is. It may have been something special from God, no doubt. But they go north and they find a young child and his mother in a house.
As I understand, When Herod says, go find him and then bring us word when you found him, of course he's lying, he wants to kill him, the star begins to move again. And they follow it, and I think it takes them to Nazareth.
It takes them to Nazareth. Again, I don't think anybody's going to know for certain until we get to heaven, and we won't even have to ask then how all of that worked. But they make their way. And they don't find a baby in a manger.
They find the young child.
They find a young child.
And the
words that are used there are different from a newborn and an infant to a young child who would have been a toddler.
Yeah.
And so it's just about 2 years after he's actually
born.
They
bring gifts, and we're going to want to know, them gifts mean something.
Yeah. Well, let me back up a minute. From the five historians, you put the information together, there are over 1,000 camels in the camel train. And these are representatives from 13 federated nations coming because they've seen a sign in heaven that's told them that heaven has announced heaven's appointed king on the earth. So that's why they want to know where's the king that's been born. And, of course, that shocks old Herod.
He has to get his scribes and say, hey, what is this about?
And
they had to go look it up themselves.
They should have been following Daniel's plan, and they'd have known that we're not very many years before the fulfillment of Daniel's 483 years here. Anyway, so they go up there and they do worship to us. I think is different than worship in their minds. Their form of worship was obeisance, prostrating themselves before a king. They knew he was just a child, but in their minds, it's obvious heaven has told us this child is destined to be king. And he really is, amen?
Yeah.
And so they give what is called in history the gift of Ramses. Nebuchadnezzar evidently is the first to give it, but it was given to Ramses the Great of Egypt after a prolonged war. We recognize you really are the king. That's heaven's appointment, because in those days, they all believed the Caesar was supposedly God's appointed king on the earth.
Yeah.
And so so they are giving the gift that was given to various people throughout the ages. It was given to Alexander Great and others by people representing, we recognize you are the king. And the gold and the frankincense, all of these were expensive, not only the gold, but all these spices. These, Mary relates to the questions asked by her in the 27 Talmud, relates that these were used for her family to be able to live in Egypt. And by the way, she lived with relatives in Egypt, because Mary and her descendants, we don't have time, I've got it in the information that people can get, but her family moved back from Egypt after the Assyrian campaign was over and moved back to Israel. So she naturally, and Joseph, can go and live with her family down there, and they've got the means to do. So God is providing many things. He's demonstrating to the world, this is my king. And then he's saying, I'm going to take care of all of this. And so that's the story of the wise man.
Let's pause right there, and we've got a couple of things I want to ask you about that. Let's pause right there. She's got the book and the CD up there, or the DVDs and the CDs that folks can get by simply going to Crossing the Spotlight. I want to remind you also, Christmas time means gift giving. I have two new books out, The Prophecy Puzzle, my most important book I've ever written. That would be a great gift for your pastor or some of your brothers, relatives, friends, people at work. Life-changing, The Prophecy Puzzle. It's on the website. And my brandy new book, The Daniel Study Guide. You can get that as well. These would be great gifts. What a good gift to give a book, something that'll be life-changing for somebody rather than just something temporal. So consider that. And lastly, let me say this. We're nearing the time of the payment of the TV stations, the bill that we got to pay every 3 months. We've just got a few more weeks down the road for that. It's very important that we get some help. Mm-hmm. And we are viewer-supported. If you can write a check, if you can make a phone call, give by credit card, whatever, we'd love to hear from you. Many of you give regularly. We appreciate it very much. But we need a few $1,000 to get us there if we're going to stay on all the networks that we're on. And so pray about that. Give us a call or get a check in the mail. There's the address right there. And or you can call the 800 number and you can give a donation over the phone if you'd rather do it that way. So, Doc, we call them the three wise men. That's not really accurate. But
they had three gifts, but they represented 13 nations.
Yeah, and we... The three gifts are important, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they mean different things. Mm-hmm. The myrrh, I think, for his burial, they talk about that.
We see all of that from our perspective, but they were giving it politically.
Another clue that we see that this is later, possibly a year and a half or more later from the birth of Christ. Mm-hmm. The star appeared at his birth, but it took him a while to get there. They come from the east. Herod's going to have all the boy children 2 years and younger killed. So that makes you think he's probably less than two, and he just wants to make sure he don't miss
it. He's
any.
Making sure he gets it, he thinks.
And he says, go find him when you find him, come back. Yep. And, you know, they wouldn't have been hard to follow with 1,000 camels. He could have tracked them anywhere. But it seems like he just trusted them. Oh, they'll be back to tell us.
Well, in his testimony, in his trial before the Senate at Rome, he said, I was trying to protect the throne. I was afraid there was somebody going to try to rise up against you and all this stuff. And the Caesar, they said he kicked over a vase and said, it'd be better for a donkey in your kingdom than a man.
Wow.
And so he lost his kingdom. You know the story that we know, how he died and all that. He died the same week that the date was set to take his kingdom away. He had options of giving it up to his son. He killed most of his relatives so they couldn't have it.
Yeah.
Ended up died
just
like he did.
A wicked man.
Very wicked man, yes.
I think, I was going to say how he died, but I won't say
it. Yeah, right.
Anyway, so the wise men go there, they give their gifts, and an angel speaks to them, says, don't go back to Herod, go another way and go home, and they did.
And I'm sure they turned and went right back east.
Can you imagine the stories that they had to tell their grandchildren?
Oh, my.
Wow.
Yeah.
For the rest of their lives. You know, I can see him as old men telling the story.
Yeah.
The day we went to Jerusalem, traveled all, we saw this miracle in the heavens, and we saw him. We saw him laying, 2 years old or whatever he was.
Yeah. I don't know. But it's none of this is a part of the traditional Christmas story, but it is the facts and the truths of Christmas.
Yeah. Of course, they're part of it, but the timing of it is what people get wrong.
And I'm not opposed to a nativity scene.
I still like my manger scene, the nativity.
That's what I'm saying, the nativity scene. I understand.
You know, the movie Ben-Hur from the 50s. Awesome movie. Awesome movie. I know they don't get everything right, but it starts out with the birth of Christ, and in comes the three wise men.
Yeah.
And I know it's not biblical because the timing's wrong, but it's still powerful.
That's why we asked the question last week, why do people not want to practice or celebrate a special day and all of that? And I realize there are a lot of things in tradition, a lot of things of this nature that are not true and accurate. But the reason for the season and when you put it all together, this is too important, because from the beginning of creation, God planned this event for the redemption of humanity.
You know, Doc, I grew up with Santa Claus. I grew up with all this stuff. I was lost till I was 21 years old. As a young boy, I would go outside and I'd look into the heavens. I didn't know God. I knew about him and I wanted to know him. And I'd wish Jesus a happy birthday.
Yeah.
Now that's a lost Catholic boy going out looking at the heavens around Christmas time. It made an impact on me.
Yeah.
Ben-Hur made a big impact on me. The Ten Commandments movie. Those were the only Bible that I had. We didn't have a Bible in the house.
Well, so we don't, maybe the things aren't always the way we would like them to be, but let's don't throw it all out. Let's take advantage of this as we're closing out this program. As we get ready to have Christmas, let's celebrate redemption.
Yes.
That's what it's about.
All right. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.